Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Touchdown! I don't believe it!
You're listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Mary Kay Cabot, she's tough talking. She enters right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. I didn't text you. I didn't prep you. So I don't know whether or not to ask you the question. Lima's going to go. Oh, I'm going to do it anyway. Lima's going under the knife tomorrow for a vasectomy. Pease, what should he do?
Oh, I'm sorry. What do you mean, what should he do?
Should there be ice? What should he do afterwards?
Should I even be doing it, Mary
Should
Kay?
He do it? Should he have a stay of execution here?
That is the question. I probably wouldn't do it if I were him, but it's the personal decision.
I am done. I'm canceling. I'm canceling right now.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Dr. J. It's over.
You said you wouldn't do it. Why wouldn't you do it if you were told? I'm sorry, I was yelling.
Well, you just never know what life is going to bring. You never know what you're going to hope for later in life. You just never know.
I am not having any more kids with my wife or anyone else, Mary Kay.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, okay.
That's great.
We are done.
Then go for it and enjoy your children and have a wonderful life.
Mary Kay, this business is actually so sick is that when I one time we considered it and then there was a no-go, and Jonah came around. But I said I was going to do it. I had a veteran radio guy go, no, you can't do that. I said, well, why? And he says, well, you've only been married once. I said, yeah. He goes, you're going to get married again to somebody much younger later on in your life. I went, whoa, whoa, whoa. He goes, that's what radio guys do, and that's what you will do. I went, no, I'm not. He goes, that's what you say now. And I go, no. I can't do that.
Or you might want another little baby at some point in your life. You just never know. But have at it.
I don't know. Lima, you got this marriage thing figured out just the way you want. I don't think you want to mess around with anything else. Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, Tommy Rees, he's going to have his press conference today coming up at 10 a.m. He's the new offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. I just assume Kevin Stefanski is going to take over play calling duty then?
I don't know. We do not know the answer to that. I think that I doubt that they're going to announce it today, but I think it's something they'll have to work through as they reshape this offense once again and figure out exactly where they're going with it and what they want to do with it.
Okay, if Tommy Rees is going to be here in Cleveland, he used to be the offensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Jalen Milroe, he comes from Alabama. You see where I'm going with this? Does this mean that they might be taking Jalen Milroe at some point in this draft?
Well, Jalen Milroe is certainly on their radar, as are all the top quarterbacks in this draft. So Tommy has more inside intel on Jalen than anybody else after having worked with him for a whole year there at Alabama. So I think it's great that they have that. And that's one they can check Jalen off the box when it comes to wondering what his personality is like, wondering what his work ethic is like, wondering how he relates to his teammates and his leadership ability. They know all of that stuff. So they're ahead of the game with Jalen. Doesn't mean they're going to take him, but they certainly have all the info that they need on him.
About a month ago, you said you were going to go through your process with some of the rookie quarterbacks coming out. Have you gone through your process? Is there anybody you like early?
I've started the process, but it's kind of a long process and it's still early. Part of it involves going to the Senior Bowl next week, so I'm leaving on Monday for Mobile, Alabama. Jalen Milroe will be there. Jackson Dart will be there. A lot of other good players will also be there. Shador won't be there. He's going to the East-West Shrine Game, and these things kind of overlap, so it was hard to do both. So he will not be there. But, yeah, I've started to talk to people and look into some things, and it's going to be very interesting to see how these quarterbacks shake out this year.
When you see the way that some of the press conferences and some of the reports are out there, and it happens every single year, and it's always entertaining, but like the new man in charge in Tennessee saying generational talent at number one, we're not going to pass on that. Does that lead you to any conclusions, or do you think all of this is just total silliness?
Lots of gamesmanship going on right now. Of course, when you have the number one overall pick, if you're not 100% certain about the player that you want there, you're going to talk that pick up as much as you possibly can and try to drum up some interest in the pick, maybe even get another first rounder for next year or something like that. So there will be all kinds of things that will come out of everywhere over the next few weeks and months, and you have to take a lot of it with a grain of salt and just know that there is a strategy for most of these teams.
Have you heard any conversation at all about the non-top two guys, the non-Ward, non-Sanders, about any inkling that they might like any other name a little bit later on?
In terms of a quarterback?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Well, I would say that, you know, we've already talked a little bit about Jalen. He's not regarded right now as one of the top two guys, and I think that he's somebody that they will take a good look at, and they'll take a good look at him this week. And also, same thing with Jackson Dart. Any of those top guys are going to be on the radar, but I don't know if they necessarily prefer them or are targeting them or anything like that, but they are scouting all of those guys very heavily.
You know, we always talk about different grades at quarterback, whether it's a first-round grade, a second-round grade, but a lot of that has become moot because the second-round quarterback is like an endangered species. Now teams just trade up to the end of the first to go get that quarterback. So given that, like, how much of an emphasis, if the Browns had a second-round grade on Shador Sanders or even Cam Ward, would that prevent them from taking him in, say, you know, maybe not at number two, but a little bit later on in the first round, maybe a trade-up?
Yeah, I mean, if you like a quarterback and you think a quarterback in this draft can help you, you have to take that quarterback where you can get him, not where you think he should be ranked or where you think he should go. Because if you think that Shador, or let's just say Jalen, if you think that Jalen is a number 50-something quarterback, but you have a pick at 33, then you're going to have to reach up and get him because the quarterback back that you like will be gone by the time you pick at 50-something. So I think, it's a strategy, and with quarterbacks, you kind of have to throw the rankings out the window a little bit.
Do you believe Deion Sanders would let his son play for the Cleveland Browns?
That's a great question. I'm very anxious to try to find out who Deion is talking about when he has teams he doesn't want his son to play for. I keep thinking that if Cleveland is one of those teams, which it wouldn't be surprising right now if Cleveland were on the list, because Cleveland doesn't have a good reputation right now in terms of quarterbacks, right? But I just have a feeling that if Deion sat down with Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, that those guys could sell a pretty good game for Deion talking about Shador. So I don't think it's a deal breaker, even if right now he might not be that keen on Cleveland. And I don't know if he is or he isn't, but I think that can change.
We've heard so many different names as a bridge, potential bridge quarterback that they could go after this offseason, independent of what they decide to do in the draft. Do you have a short list right now, Mary Kay, or maybe a very long list of quarterbacks that you think are in play right now for this football team?
Well, I think everyone has to figure out first who is going to be available. You don't know what's going to happen necessarily with Justin Fields, and you don't know what's going to happen with Russell Wilson and Sam Darnold. We have a pretty good idea that Kirk Cousins will become available. But no, I don't have a short list yet on just exactly what the Browns are thinking in terms of those veteran quarterbacks. A lot of it will shake out over the next month when guys either get re-signed or get released or whatever the case may be.
If they found themselves with a chance to take Travis Hunter, how do you think that they would use him?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I would find a way to use him both ways if possible. Maybe not 100% of the time. Maybe you go 80% defensive back, 20% wide receiver or something like that. Or maybe you flip that and see which position he will excel at most. But he's such a talent. He's such a weapon that you probably can't go wrong either way. And it's going to take a nice creative mind to figure out how to maximize that dual threat ability.
You mentioned cuts just moments ago. Are there any names that might be a little bit surprising to fans that you've maybe highlighted as potential cut candidates?
Well, in terms of in the league or for the Browns?
For the Browns.
Well, this would not be a cut, but Andrew Berry at his season wrap-up sort of indicated that there is a world in which Nick Chubb doesn't get re-signed here. So that would probably be the most upsetting, I think, for Browns fans, if, of course, that happens. But it might not. They might be able to bring him back on some minimum type of contract with incentives or something like that. So that could happen in that regard. But I think that I think Andrew was trying to manage expectations a little bit for Nick Chubb.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't think that I want to react right off the bat if they don't sign him first day of free agency. I think it's going to take at least a week. You have a draft class coming out that seems to be a little bit more robust with running backs, and there could be a little bit of not so much needed when it comes to free agency. So if I don't think I want to react until he were to sign with another team. Then I think I might get a little bit upset with the Browns over it.
Right, exactly. Anything can still happen because he's not going to be probably in the first wave of players that gets plucked right off the market. So there will be an opportunity to go back at it. But I'm sure they've already had these discussions with Nick Chubb. There's no way that Andrew would sit up there and say what he said at the wrap-up if he hadn't already had those discussions with Nick Chubb and with his representation. They respect him too much, vice versa. And you will always do right by Nick Chubb.
Between JOK, DeJuan Jones, and Mike Hall, all had really rough endings to the season, obviously, because of injuries. What is the level of optimism, do you think, from the Browns on those three? Maybe not being ready to go for week one, but being able to get back on the football field and have normal seasons next year.
Well, it seems to me that they feel pretty good about DeJuan Jones. I think he's penciled in at left tackle, and they're hoping that that works out the way they expect it to. And then same thing with Mike Hall. I do think that they believe that Mike Hall will be ready to go probably by the beginning of the season. And then JOK, we just don't know yet. When you have a neck injury the way that he did, it's still up in the air. It's still just hanging out there about when he'll be able to play and in some cases if he'll be able to play. And the Browns have only really said that they're hopeful, they're hoping he'll be back. And no one really is able to put a time frame on it yet or to handicap how long it will take for him to get back on the field. So I do think that that's one to keep an eye on, and they're probably going to have to find a way to replace him just in case.
You tired of seeing Kansas City in the Super Bowl?
Not really.
Really?
Because I really did like Patrick coming out in 2018, and I really enjoyed watching his career. And I'm not really tired of it, but by the same token, I absolutely really liked Josh Allen coming out. Patrick was 17, Josh was 18. I really liked Josh coming out in 18 too. So it's really cool to watch how these guys have developed. And it, in some ways, it would be nice to see someone else in the Super Bowl, but I never really bet against Patrick either.
Mary Kay, we thank you very much for the time. And Lima thanks you for the advice. All the best to you and yours. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Sounds good. Take care.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. The Buckeyes are national champions again. Big Mike says, guys, can you clear something up? ESPN was saying it's Ohio State's seventh national title. Your last first said nine. I think he's saying update.
Ryan Day said nine titles like 20 times in the postgame.
So this is where it is that before like any of us were like born, and I mean most of the people listening, there was like a Harris poll, a UPI poll. There were several different polls. So like Pitt can claim nine national championships. Teams claim an obscene amount of national champions.
Well, but UCF claims one.
Like there is Ohio State, I believe, has a national championship that's credited to them from like 1933 that they don't even claim. Like it's not at the Woody. It's not on their official website, but they are credited with a national championship that they don't even claim. So in those days, it was kind of the Wild West. And college football is not what it is now.
And Alabama is the school that they've really kind of ruined it because they claim a ton of those titles that no other school would claim. So they boast this huge number that isn't remotely accurate. And of course, back then, remember, young kids, there were no playoffs. Like it was literally pollsters would say, your team won the championship.
Well, you would lose games because remember, you were given a national championship or named a national champion even before bowl games.
Yes.
So you go and lose a bowl game. It's like, well, what the hell are you talking about? Nah, it didn't matter. So I think for any fan base out there, when in doubt, take the higher number.
Well,
so you're a nine-time national champion. Like, Ohio State's won nine.
Like on Wikipedia, they say national titles, nine unclaimed. Seven unclaimed. So if we were Alabama, we'd say 16. You know, they really do.
Like unclaimed freight. Go ahead and claim them.
And go through some of those Bama ones. No,
auction it off.
No business. No business claiming some of those.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, boys.
Wonderful to speak to you. What was the experience like for you last night watching Ohio State win the national championship?
Well, that's three in my lifetime, so I'm pretty happy. And it's pretty cool. They won a BCS title. They were the champions of the first 4-team playoff and now the champions of the first 12-team playoff. So go ahead and expand it to 16 so they can win another one.
Daryl, it seems to be the monkey is off the back of Ryan Day. I've seen some people say, well, no, if he loses to Michigan next year, and I'm like, I guess who cares? That sucks. That's bad. It's our rival, but now you can win the national championship without even needing that game or the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are people reminding me that I was amongst the many calling for Ryan Day to be fired after that loss to Michigan. But, you know, after a couple of weeks of simmering down, the reality is the landscape, like you said, Anthony, of college football, it's changed. The game no longer means what the game used to mean, right? And these kids, they're not there long enough, a lot of them anymore, for it to be the bitter rivalry that it used to be. For a lot of them, it's just another game on the schedule. And same thing goes in the NFL, right? I mean, you know, the Ravens game for Cleveland Browns players does not mean the same thing to them as it does to Browns fans or the Steelers. It's just another game on the schedule for them. So it is, you know, the landscape has changed. Certainly one heck of a redemption story for Ryan Day, because, you know, he basically went from goat to hero, in the span of a month.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. For him, like silencing critics, I thought that, again, it has to mean so much more to him. And I'm glad that he didn't. I thought he might cut a promo last night. I thought I would if I were him. But then I'm going, no, he understands who got him there. He understands that wasn't the right time to do it, especially because, I mean, the players are the ones defending him throughout all this over these last couple of months.
Yeah, and the players defended him by winning those four games, beating top 5, top 10 teams. to win the whole thing. And look, that was your defense, right? You couldn't go out there and defend Ryan Day and then not get it done in the college football playoff, right? The fact that they went through the gauntlet that they did to not only get to but win the national championship, you know, obviously speaks to the talent that the Buckeyes had and everyone thought they had. They were a favorite to win the national title going into this season. They lost a squeaker there on the West Coast in Oregon, and everyone was saying, hey, you put that at a neutral site or put that in Columbus and the Buckeyes win that football game. Well, they got their, you know, their opportunity for revenge, and I mean they just absolutely hammered the Ducks in the playoffs. So you know, the players did the talking and, you know, backing up Ryan Day by going out there and winning four straight against tough competition.
I want to ask you this question. I know I'm going to ask Andrew Brandt about it coming up here in 40 minutes, but you know what? You're the Browns guy, and I went after you for reading 264 pages of legalese back on Friday. But Will Howard, chances to go to the Browns at some point, not number two or in the first round probably, but where do you see Will Howard, and do you see the Browns considering him?
I'd probably say he's a mid-round draft pick in the making. Third round and later. I don't know if he ends up here in Cleveland. I kind of have my gut is now telling me they're going to take a quarterback at two.
Whoa!
Here we go, Darryl.
Darryl! Wow! Darryl!
As much as I detest that idea of them taking a quarterback at two, it would be my worst nightmare come true, because I just don't trust them to get it right. I mean, they've been screwing it up for 26 years, and this regime hadn't exactly been hitting bangers at the position either. So I am ye of little faith here when it comes to their ability to properly evaluate that position. So,
I feel different. I think they're going to trade back. Now, if Jason Lloyd is right, which Mary Kay said the opposite later on Thursday, but if Jason is right, Jason said that Kevin's going to be the one in charge of going after a quarterback, and I'm going, well, okay, that's Kirk Cousins, and that's trade down and get a guy later on.
Yeah, well, I'm all aboard the trade down train there. I've been leading it, so I hope that's what they do, but my worry is that they're going to see the light at the end of the train tracks, they're approaching rather quickly, and they're going to take a chance on somebody and basically say, we need it, we got to do it, look what happened in Washington, and let's try and do that here in Cleveland with the number two pick. And I don't think it's that easy. I don't think there's a Daniels in this draft. I really don't. I don't think this quarterback class is all that good. I have no problem drafting a quarterback later in the, whether it's, you know, you guys brought up Will Howard, right? Okay, fine. You want to take a chance of him on the in the fourth round? No issue with that. Great, fantastic. Maybe find lightning in a bottle there. Similar to the DTR pick in the fifth round a couple years ago. Like, I have no problem taking a stab in the dark in the middle of the draft at a quarterback, but you know, let's not act like this guy's the franchise quarterback on day one and he's the, you know, the savior of everything. Like, that's not what you're doing when you, you know, pick a QB in one of those spots. But I'm with you, Ken. I want him to trade down, stay in the top 10, so you still get a blue chip player that can help you. You collect a draft pick for next year, because I'm hoping that the quarterback class next year is better, and then you are armed with the ammunition you need to go up and get one of those quarterbacks next year. I fear that they're going to take one at two because they have to take one and they need one, and then when you do that, you just get yourself into all kinds of trouble.
Darryl Ryder with us. I know you were watching all the NFL this weekend.
It was fun, wasn't it?
Well, I love to sit back and just take it all in, but Baltimore loses again, and Lamar Jackson was you know, very polarizing. His game was kind of all over the map. Did you blame him or did you blame Mark Andrews for the way they lost that game?
Oh, that's all on Mark Andrews, man. The fumble and then you drop the tying two-point conversion. And look, Lamar was, I thought, handled it beautifully after the game. That's what leaders do. Hey, this is on me. That's not on Mark. That's not on me. I had a couple of turnovers that killed us. This is a team game, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But Andrews, who is an all-pro tight end, just, you know, flat out didn't make the play when he needed to make the play. I mean, that's sports. It happens. But it was nice to see the Buffalo Bills win that game. I picked the Bills to win the game. They did. I went 3-for-4. Unfortunately, the Lions couldn't hold up their share of the deal here. But glad to see the Bills advance. And boy, a lot of people, including myself, going to be rooting for them next weekend.
What'd you think of the way that weather had an impact on some of these games? Definitely looked like a different brand of football. Yeah. I was telling Owen, I mean, Patrick Mahomes had like 170 passing yards. Philadelphia in that game, they couldn't throw the ball. The Rams really couldn't throw until late. Overall, yeah. Your thoughts on how weather impacted it, and does it have you thinking about what it could be like in a playoff game if the Browns ever get one at home?
Yeah, that's cute. You think the Browns are actually ever going to host a playoff game again?
It's got to happen sometime.
Well, it's been like 40 years.
How long do we go? Do we past the Super Bowl? Can we stop being down about everything? Can we stop being down about everything?
No.
All right, so we're just going to take a dump on everything until Kingdom come.
Because the same people that gave you that sandwich this past year are still in charge.
Well, I'm sure the Browns fans are going to want to continue to take dumps on this whole thing for the entire offseason. I'm sure that they're not going to be excited by anything that they do whatsoever. Great. Glad to hear it.
You know what, Ken?
Wonderful.
You know what, Ken? I think the Browns fans need to make them earn it the way that they do with the Guardians and the Cavs. You got to earn it. You got to win. To get talked about and get the love, you got to win.
It's a different sport.
I don't care. I really don't care. I think that.
Do you think Guardians fans want to hear me lament about it, the Dodgers getting another person in free agency?
I mean,
we could do that. I could do that all day.
I just.
Do you want me to ask them whether or not they should pick a big market team to be a fan of as well, like Mitch has? Maybe Mitch was the one who broke the code for all of us.
I just think that the double standard needs to stop in this town.
Okay, then break the double standard right now.
The Guardians are coming off an ALCS appearance.
Yes, I know that.
The Cavs are the best team in the NBA. Like,
okay,
you know what? Why don't they get more love?
They get plenty of love. They don't get as much love at this time of year, and plus, people like talking about football.
Okay,
you know the truth. I mean, Daryl,
I know. I know the truth.
If you were our baseball beat reporter, I would bring you on and talk about nothing but baseball. It's the same thing if you were our basketball guy.
Oh, I know.
But you're a football guy. And, hey, we started this whole thing with the Ohio State Buckeyes. If you want me to ask you Guardians questions, I'll ask you Guardians questions. Are you concerned about Stephen Vogt's coaching staff, that he's had to make some changes and maybe it won't be the same type of mix that he's had in the past couple of years? Who do you think is going to take over at second base? Are we the type of team that has the type of leadership that is able to weather the storm with a young person taking over second base? At what point will Travis Bazzana be brought up? Now, I want answers right now, damn it. Give me my answers.
Hopefully.
I'm messing with you.
I know. I don't think, but I'll give you some answers, though. I think yes, because I think the Guardians are the most consistently run team in all of Major League Baseball over the last 15 years or so. I don't know when we see Benzana, but obviously they are counting on him in the near future. I'm not too worried that, you know, they kept the one guy that I was worried about, and that was Carl Willis. Everything else, I'm moving pieces and parts, whatever. Carl Willis was the guy I was worried about.
I got to tell you, I disagree. I thought Chris Valleca brought a fresh perspective, or at least was allowed to bring a fresh perspective to the plate and keeping guys aggressive at the plate. I think that's the reason why we found out that they weren't going to fall in love with Andrés Giménez anymore, and they needed to move on because he was so timid at the plate last year.
Well, but they also do a good job watching the film in the dugout in between at bats.
Well, apparently he wasn't, according to what a lot of sources say, but that's neither here nor there. Neither here nor there. Is Juan Brito an overrated prospect at second base? I'm going to ask you that next time you come on, Daryl. Go ahead, Don. Go ahead.
Well, I never got an answer about the weather. What did you think of how that played out? And do you think that would change Browns fans' minds about a dome?
It was fun watching guys on skates.
Is that football, Daryl? Shaky footing?
I think, just like we were talking about the evolution of college football, I think the NFL is changing too. And you're seeing, Jacksonville's putting a roof over their stadium. Not necessarily doming it, but it's going to have a roof on it. The Commanders are looking into building a dome. The Chicago Bears want to build a dome. Kansas City Chiefs are looking into building a dome. That's where the league is going. Teams want to build domes. And the reason why teams want to build domes, and this will shock you, it's not because of the weather. It's because they see the ability to generate additional revenue outside of their 8 or 9 home games that they get per year in the regular season. That's what it's about. That's what the Browns see. It's an opportunity to bring in big events to those communities, compete for bigger events. They look at what Indianapolis has done. Indianapolis is a smaller city than Cleveland. They built a dome. They connected it to their convention center underground, so you don't even have to go outside.
It's the best setup ever. It's amazing.
It really is. And again, it's why I always get so frustrated with the people that do the civic planning in this area, because nobody thinks big about anything. It's always about, well, that's just the way it's always been, so we got to keep doing it that way. It's part of the reason that everyone finds themselves in the position that they find themselves in with the current stadium. It wasn't done right to begin with. Therefore, getting it done right becomes ultimately more expensive. The reason the Guardians and the Cavaliers didn't have to ask for a new ballpark or new arena, because that complex was built really, really well. But, construction costs are what they are, and all of a sudden they ran out of money. And, they had to go to the county and the city of Cleveland and with the hands out, hey, we need $20 million from you and another $20 million from you to cover costs. Construction costs are exploding right now for these buildings. So, it would have been nice that if everyone wasn't trying to save face back in the 90s, Everyone took a deep breath and just, okay, we're going to get the team back, but let's do this thing right. Instead, you got your cookie cutter football stadium. No actual NFL team was consulted on design of said stadium, which if there was, it could have saved a lot of the existing problems that they have right now. The convention center is right there. There's no thought of trying to build something indoors that connects to a convention center. And nobody in this region really thinks big. And then when someone does, all the politicians line up and the developers line up against them because it might impact downtown Cleveland in a negative way, even though it's a $3.5 billion construction project, which, by the way, is right there with what Bedrock is going to spend on the riverfront. But that development on the riverfront, we'll have some competition potentially in Brook Park. Yeah. So nobody wants to see that. So I just wish people here would think big picture. Hey, let's get the – wouldn't it be nice to watch the Ohio State Buckeyes win a national championship in Cleveland, Ohio?
Well, Daryl, that's a totally different ball of wax. And thank you very much for your time. Saying. And you better bone up on your Juan Brito, okay?
Cavs won last night, by the way.
They did.
Dominated.
Yeah,
blew out the Suns without three guys.
Kevin Durant just on that team just kind of looks old. Daryl, thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Later, boys.
That's some special stuff to Cleveland.com, where it's in-depth film breakdown stuff.
Great stuff. We'll make you smarter.
Great to have Lance with us. And he really likes Shedeur Sanders. And it's funny because Lance took it past he's Deion's kid, which I think so many people are having a hard time getting past.
Right.
And Lance looked at, as you just heard Lance say, I looked at the tape. You see on the tape this. And, if you think about it, that's what it's really all about, isn't it? And Lance liked the idea of Shedeur fitting into this system with Kevin Stefanski. And it would be something that would work for Deion Sanders if he was open-minded about it. Interesting. I'm Jeff Phelps. Dan Menigan's in for Andy today.
Shedeur has made a lot of sense for this team for a decent period of time for that exact reason. He's in a bit of a pro-style system right now. Pat Shurmur is offensive coordinator. I know. Whatever. but he is an offensive coordinator who's been in the league for a long period of time. Well, but you know how this goes. Anytime you bring up a former Browns coach, they have been able to have no accomplishments whatsoever because they stunk with the Browns. You know how people look at these things. So That's why you have to give that as a precursor. I get it from that regard. The questions that I've got with Shadur, and I got to do some digging myself, is A, how much of the sacks are on a poor offensive line, and how many sacks are on Shadur himself? That's the one thing I need an answer to. The second question that I have with it, too, is he a point-and-shoot quarterback? By that, I mean, like, I've always been explained that in the Kubiak-Shanahan system, it's always been explained to me this way, that the head coach is playing quarterback. And by that, I mean, the head coach is the one who is going, you will throw here, you will throw here, you will then hit the check down, and if those aren't there, you will get rid of it immediately. And the head coach is the one in the headset going, you will throw to this guy on this, you know, he will get open, you will throw it here. And I wonder how much Shadur can operate with that ideal. And I wonder if maybe it moves, you know, how many of the sacks are on him and how many of the sacks are on a poor offensive line because it was tough to get offensive linemen in the transfer portal. And that was the thing that kind of sank Colorado this season. And so those are the two questions I've got when it comes to Shadur.
In 2 years at Colorado, pretty unbelievable numbers. 64 touchdown passes and only 13 interceptions. And he completed 72% of his passes.
He can sling it.
Which makes you think, Dan, is it what you're talking about? Is it, you know, just aim and throw and, mm-hmm. you know, obviously it's somebody who's going to end up being a very high draft pick going in the NFL draft. I wonder if the Browns think so much of him that they would try to sell Deion on the idea. And convince, because it sounds like you're going to have to convince Deion Sanders that your team is a good fit for his son, which we get. I do understand that. And if that's the case, okay. Then you go and you try and sell it. But if you really like him and you can't sell it, what do you do? You know?
So our social media mentions on the artist formerly known as Twitter are powered by Scheiba Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. And you can always send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads, like CLE USMC sent. We know one thing for sure under the system with Pat Shurmur. Sanders has learned you could either run the ball or you could pass the ball.
It's pretty funny.
That's a great tweet. Thank you. I needed that laugh. That was a great tweet. I appreciate it. But that's the question that I have.
You said it before. Pat Shurmur is actually a really highly thought of offensive coach.
Right.
It just didn't work here very well.
He got handed the keys way too soon to be a head coach in this league. And frankly, I don't know if he was a decent offensive mind for a period of time. He got handed the keys way too soon. And he kind of got hung out to dry throughout the entire thing. And I'm not trying to make excuses because, trust me, there was poor play throughout the entire thing and the whole Holmgren era and everything else. But like, he's been decent when he's been in Colorado, and they've got a pretty good offense, and Shadur has been, you know, slinging it through there. It's just how many of the sacks, because he took a boatload of sacks. How many of those are on him for holding onto the ball too long, trying to make the perfect pass too much, and how many of those are on the fact that he had a poor offensive line? And I need to go look and figure that out for myself. I mean, Lance is in, and he's got, it's a great piece, and he's watched it, and he could sell, you know, he's put out a really interesting thought, and it's made me look differently at Shadur than I would have to begin with. But that's my question. And if the case is he holds onto the ball too long and doesn't process fast enough, that screams you need to sit. And if you need to sit, will the Cleveland Browns allow you to sit? Or is it going to be, you're number two, get out there, kid, you'll figure it out.
See, and that goes back to our big picture that we're doing here with finding us a quarterback. If you draft from all thoughts, anybody here at number two,
right?
It would appear that you need to go out and get a veteran quarterback and bring that guy in and let him play for a year or so. Which, you know, if Kirk Cousins and Kevin Stefanski have that relationship, think about Cousins and a draft choice. Think about Carson Wentz and a draft choice. And know, with the veteran knowing, you've got a year, maybe two. But I would think even just a year is, Patrick Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith for a year. That was enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, And you don't need Jordan Love sitting there for 3 years.
You don't need Aaron Rodgers
sitting there for 3 years.
Yep.
But especially when you see the rookie quarterback stepping into the league now, Bo Nix, Drake May when he got his chance, Jaden Daniels certainly.
Penix looks decent towards the end, but looks he also solid. Sat for a chunk of games.
Caleb Williams had his moments in a tough situation in Chicago. The rookies are coming into the league and playing. And if this group of rookies isn't ready to do that, is the organization willing to bring them along slowly? And it's critical.
That's my answer. It's the reason why I have been screaming I don't want to take a quarterback at two and will continue, is because to me these guys need to sit. And they're not going to sit. They're the second pick. You know they're getting thrown out there. And boy, you can just, you recycle through those guys too fast when you throw them out there too early.
Fighting Irish and the Buckeyes. Who wins tonight? I'll tell you who I think wins and why. Coming up next on Baskin and Phelps. Andy also has a bone to pick with him coming up at 11 o'clock.
I don't have a bone to pick with him. I just want to ask if he changed his mind.
Okay, good.
Don't make this bigger than it is. Don't try
What is it? What bone is it that you want to pick?
I just want to ask him one more time if he would rather have Marcus Freeman as a head coach or Ryan Day. That's all. Last week he said, it is very clear and obvious to everyone that you would rather have Marcus Freeman as a head coach over Ryan Day. And I was just like, I don't think that's clear to everyone. So I just want to ask him about it and see if he changes his mind.
All right, Andy will pick that bone at 11 o'clock. And then Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, will join us at noon after he just heard Tommy Reese's press conference. Opening press conference, offensive coordinator of the Browns. Kevin Stefanski will be calling plays. Kevin opened it up by saying that, Andy, but he reserves the right to change his mind. The one thing I think everybody needs to understand, tell me if you agree with this or not. And we heard several times, okay, you're going back to the offense that Stefanski ran before.
Right.
Well, no, not. I'll say this. No, not completely. Because if you were, you could have brought Alex Van Pelt back as offensive coordinator because he was let go in New England. If you wanted the same thing back, you could have very simply had it. You could have hired Alex Van Pelt as your offensive coordinator, and Kevin could go back to calling plays. Instead of doing that, they're going with a different approach because it's a different guy with a different background and different thoughts. So though I think, it'll probably more closely resemble what we saw several years ago, there will still be differences because you're having a different guy, quote unquote, coordinate the offense.
You need to coordinate the offense. I'm looking forward to this kind of going back to where it was 2 years ago. And then again, you need a quarterback that's healthy. I'll just go there. I don't care whether it's a free agent, whether it's a rookie that's coming in or whatever. They just need a quarterback that can effectively execute the offense that Kevin is looking for beyond the first drive of the game. Okay? Because we know that Kevin can scheme up something really, really good for the first drive of the game. We've seen it time and time again. And then we also saw when he wasn't calling the plays what happened later in the season. They also need to be able to score more than 20 points a game. These are all like the small, not so small goals that need to happen for next year. It's all on Kevin. And it was almost like when Kevin gave up the play calling this year, you could kind of see that he was going to come back at the end of the season no matter how this thing played out. So really, the biggest news that came out of today's press conference was Kevin stepping out to the podium, very first words out of his mouth, I will be calling the plays next season, and I will have the option to change my mind if I want to.
That was really the only,
which I know you guys are going to ask, I'm going to call plays, and I reserve the right to change my mind.
There you go. Okay?
That was really the only news that came out of the press conference.
Just like being married. Your spouse always has the right to change their mind. Learn something from that. True? What are you saying? Don't get fired? What?
Don't get divorced.
Don't get divorced.
Oh, it's not divorced. It's true. Your spouse always has the right to change their mind. You may not always agree with it, but the words happy wife, happy life apply 24/7, 52 weeks a year.
I think it's an intriguing promotion for the Browns because this guy was highly thought of when the Browns brought him in. Nick Saban thinks highly of him. Nick is a good football coach, no matter what you think of him. I will say I think he might even be better in television commercials than he is as a football coach.
He's been pretty good.
He's pretty entertaining. It's a rule. It's not a spa.
That's right. Did he give the... Never mind.
So I think, you know, we'll see. And the whole, well, Mike Vrabel had an interest in him. That doesn't matter. If the Browns didn't think he was the guy that should be coordinating this offense, they wouldn't have promoted him just because Mike Vrabel might have hired him. That wasn't going to happen. And Vrabel has a pretty good offensive coordinator in Josh McDaniels, who's been there, done that, and has the Super Bowl rings to prove it. So if McDaniels were available, would Vrabel have hired him over Tommy Rees?
I know, that's a good question.
I don't know either. It is a good question. I if he would have hired Tommy Rees and not Josh McDaniels, that would have been telling. I would have expected him to hire Josh McDaniels, personally, and he did. But here you have a young guy, coordinator, interesting experience, coordinator at two big-time colleges, played the position in college, and he's going to come in a situation where you need a quarterback, and he better succeed. Whether it's a young guy, whether it's a veteran, whatever it is, whoever it is, that guy has to succeed here, or they're all going to fail, Andy. And Tommy Rees will either be looking for a job next year or might get promoted as offensive coordinator. He could be the head coach. You never know. So it has to work this year for Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, and they're putting their trust in this young guy to coordinate the offense. I think that's interesting.
I'm looking forward to seeing how this plays out. They really like Tommy. Obviously, there was a guy who was coveted by other teams in the NFL. They wanted to make sure that he stayed home. He said he wanted to stay.
We think so, right?
We heard his name in too many other circles that he wasn't. Obviously, somebody, whether he got
interviewed
a job or
interviewed
not.
Interviewed at North Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, he got an interview. I mean, there were other places
that
wanted him. Right, and he's got a pretty good resume as far as colleges. If he needs to call plays, well, I think he's in a position to do that. He has the experience. He wouldn't be coming in totally cold. He'll know the offense when they get there. They just, I don't care who the offensive coordinator is. If they don't get a quarterback, it's not going to matter for anybody. Somebody's got to lead this team and hang on to the football and not throw to the other team more than our team. But I don't, like, this is 100% what the issue is here right now. Tommy Rees might be the greatest offensive coordinator in the history of the planet, but if he doesn't have a quarterback, he's not going to be moving forward.
Who will that quarterback be? Could it be the guy he was with at Alabama? He's going to make comments. We're going to hear them. He made them some time ago. We're going to hear the comments he made about Jalen Milroe, who is one of the quarterbacks in this draft, coming up in 30 minutes right here on The Fan, so get ready for that. I still think the quarterbacks who can create and extend plays, part of this is interesting, and it makes me think, is that specifically what they're looking for?
What's your interpretation? Like, my interpretation of that is a guy who doesn't want to sit in the pocket too long.
Well, my interpretation of that is a guy who can sit in the pocket, but if the pocket breaks down, can still make plays. I don't think that screams Kirk Cousins. Do you?
No.
With an Achilles that's not what it used to be. Doesn't scream Aaron Rodgers as a free agent.
But if you're Kevin and you know your job's on the line when this thing, but let's face it, Tommy's job's on the line too. Do you go out and get a quarterback who has experience that can probably help you win some games? He might take some sacks in the pocket, but if he can help you win and get you to the playoffs and preserve your job for another year, then it might be prudent to go out and get a not-so-mobile, effective, high completion percentage rate quarterback to run your team.
To me, there are a couple of guys who fit that real well.
And he also kind of explained that he needs a quarterback that's going to be the offensive coordinator, well, like all quarterbacks, after the word hike is said.
Let me throw some names at you. Quarterbacks who were available, and again, we're going to be talking about this and these guys extensively leading up to free agency in the draft. We've already discussed Justin Fields.
Yeah, we have.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Jones.
Righto.
Those guys can throw, and they're mobile. They can run. They can extend plays. Makes me think if that was actually a telling statement, to me, it screams Kirk Cousins isn't your guy. Aaron Rodgers isn't your guy.
But here's the other thing.
Which I can't imagine.
What
Aaron
if he's
Rodgers
Kevin Stefanski's guy,
anyway. Well, that's a different story.
Then he is going to become your guy.
But would that, you know, am I reading too much into one statement?
I think maybe a little bit, but that's okay. But, I don't have a problem with it.
But if it's a quarterback, I mean, if that's the philosophy, then there are plenty of guys out there who you can find who can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, and clearly, that's the type of quarterback play that's succeeding in the NFL right now. I mean, it's succeeding in a big way. Just look at the teams still playing and the teams that have gone, you know, gone into the playoffs. That's what it screams.
Let me ask you this. What job do you think is more coveted? A offensive coordinator in the NFL who doesn't call his own plays, or a Division I college offensive coordinator who gets to call their own plays? What would you rather be?
What do you want to do? And I don't want to be that simple about it, but do you want to be a college coordinator or do you want to work in the NFL? Different worlds.
You have to get that experience, and he has it, that experience of actually calling plays on game day, though.
He's done it.
Yeah.
He did it at Notre Dame. He did it at Alabama.
I don't know. Is it overrated, calling the plays? Because
Since I've never worked for an NFL team as a coach, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know or do fans overrate who's calling the plays?
I think fans, the coaches will tell you it's overrated. I've never bought that myself. I think it is a big deal. You know?
It should be.
It's a different philosophy on game day, and Kevin's good at it.
It should be of one mind.
One mind.
Thought partner.
One thought. Oh, nice. Nick Kostos is our Odyssey Sports betting insider. Who wins? Who goes to the Super Bowl? Where should the smart money go? Kostos has all that, and Andy will pick a bone next on Baskin and Phelps. And don't forget, comments on Jalen Milroe coming up in the 11 o'clock hour from the guy who didn't want to talk about him today, Tommy Rees.
We had no idea what they're doing at 2. And then it's just like, Travis Hunter, multi-positional guy, Colorado. I don't want to do what I've done before where I'm recording myself reacting to the pick. And then I have to stop because I use words in there that can't go on social media.
Do you think it's going to be like the Baker Mayfield draft where no one really knew what the selection was going to be? I'll never forget being at the Muni lot. They had this big event and everything like that, and I got sent out to kind of cover it. Brady Quinn was there. It was like a whole big deal. And then filming the reaction of people as they said Baker Mayfield's name, and it was such a dud. People just did not love that answer at all.
Draft reaction and the videos around it. You could take a different video at a different bar and get a completely different reaction. But what's funny is wherever the most popular video is what becomes lore. So if you just happen to be at a bar where there's 10 people that like the one pick more, it's going to look like everybody loves it. It's the worst way to gauge like fan reaction to it. And we do it every single year when somebody has like a top 3 pick.
But do you think we're going to find out? Well, we know months in advance. Like what the Titans just said today kind of threw people for a little bit of a what are they talking about type moment. Well, are they going to take Travis Hunter because he's the generational talent? Or are they obviously going quarterback like they should?
It wouldn't surprise me if this was a year where teams make their plans at quarterback in like March. Meaning that like the RG3 trade happened well before the draft.
Yeah.
The Browns trade down with Carson Wentz, if I remember correctly, that happened like a month before the draft. The Jared Goff trade, the trade for the Rams, happened even before that one. So like that's kind of what I expect in this. Like I don't know. Like I kind of feel like if the Browns are going to trade down, it's going to happen before they're on the clock. And I feel the same way about the Titans. So buckle up for a really interesting next couple months.
It could get real wild.
Like,
yeah.
Would it surprise you if it happened like in concert with them signing a Sam Darnold or Kirk Cousins? It wouldn't. Like if it went, they signed Sam Darnold.
That's what we're going to wonder too, if they tip their hand a little bit within the free agency and what they end up doing during that.
But I think because there's such a dearth of good quarterback options out there, I actually think this favors the Browns because the second Darnold's off the board and maybe Kirk Cousins is off the board and Stafford retiring would have a huge impact on not just the Browns but every other team, because I think if Stafford retires, Cousins goes there.
That would make a lot of sense.
I think they know each other. McVay and Cousins know each other from Washington.
Oh, but Darnold was just in L.A., wasn't he?
No, he was in San Francisco.
Oh, sorry, I got the confused.
Yeah. And then, by the way, that probably also helps the Darnold market as well, the McVay factor. But I think it's more Cousins.
Because Kevin O'Connell coming from Sean McVay, though, maybe that's where the connection for my brain added up there.
Well,
maybe,
I just think McVay's gone on the record and saying Cousins is everything you want mentally as a quarterback.
No, 100% true. McVay is salivated over Cousins at every turn he gets to talk on a podcast or anything about who he loves as a quarterback.
But I think inevitably Stafford retiring is a good thing for the Cleveland Browns, because even if that takes Cousins or Darnold off the board, there's going to be one less quarterback out there, one more spot open. And a team like Vegas is going to be desperate. The Giants, with Joe Schoen being on the precipice of getting fired if he doesn't take a stab at a quarterback, you know he cannot go to the sweet by-and-by of disgraced NFL GMs without taking at least one real swing at quarterback in a four-year span. Even the Jets, if Rodgers retires. Like, if Rodgers and Stafford retire, it's only going to make two more valuable, and it's only. And by the way, it'll drive up the price on Cousins and Darnold.
Well, and
what would
really
else
drive
too
up the price is if the Titans do end up going number one and not taking quarterback as well.
Oh,
I was kind of hinted at earlier.
I think because you're guaranteed a quarterback to fall, unless. And I mean, I think one thing that could complicate this is the Titans telegraphing which quarterback. Teams might favor Cam to Chador and vice versa.
Yeah, well, you don't make the
that
move.
That might change who's trading up, but
yeah,
still.
You don't make the move if you love one or the other and you're having to bet on what the Titans do.
That's interesting. Is this might be the year where both guys, you might think Cam Ward has a higher ceiling. You might think Chador has maybe the higher floor. If you're quarterback, there are so many teams that are quarterback desperate. I don't think the Browns should be quarterback desperate. They might be, but I don't think they should be. This might be the year where there are enough quarterback desperate teams, they just trade up to get a quarterback. And it might push Jalen Milroe up the board, by the way. It might push Will Howard up the board. It might push guys who have no business being first-round picks.
I mean, this
is
the argument
picks
I made about a couple months ago with the idea that it was like, you're going to see quarterbacks go 1 and 2. It's just how, there's so many teams that just need a quarterback.
And
they know it's their easy way out.
But I think if the Browns are as smart as they think they are, and at times we felt they are, I think being able to secure a Darnold or a veteran of some repute and being able to milk the number two pick for everything it's worth, I think that's like the dream scenario of you could protect yourself for the next couple drafts, maybe even. Like, you might be able to get that the 49ers trading up to get the third best quarterback in an okay quarterback draft with Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Where they gave up three firsts, but so a first swap and then two extra firsts on top of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of sweetened pot that if you can get that in another pick this year that's in the top 100,
Would go what Albert Breer suggested, where they take a free agent quarterback and then also are in play at number two for someone like Chador?
I think that's probably a little heavy. Like, I understand the idea of you're not in love with either, but if you like both enough, you know?
I don't even know that, like, it's though.
It's just throwing it against the wall and see if one of them can stick.
Well, I think it's understanding that let's call it Kirk Cousins, right? Kirk Cousins isn't going to be your quarterback for 5 years. You know, like, there's an expiration date on Kirk Cousins, so it's understanding that, you know, he's going to be done at some point, and then you have Chador right there to throw in. It's not too dissimilar to what you just saw the Falcons do. Now, they spent way more money, and were in the initial stages of spending way more time on Kirk Cousins, but they were able to hit the eject button pretty quick.
You know that I'm cool with, like, the trade up from 33 to like 26 and get Milroe.
Yeah.
So
you're big in the Milroe camp.
I kind of see the value there, even though I think you really got to coach the hell out of that kid, and he has no business seeing the field next year. Like, that's where I am right now with Milroe. That can change because I have not watched every bit of tape out there for Alabama that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the kid that was at Alabama 2 years ago with Tommy Reese was really, really good. And I think we've forgotten about how good he was
He took a step back without
like
Tommy
four,
Reese.
And it was really four games. It was four or five games at the end of the season that I think
he finished 16 touchdowns, 10 picks.
Ruined. I think it was nine picks. It's still not good.
Not good enough.
But yeah. I see the value in taking a more raw prospect if you think Sam Darnold can start the next 2 years. The Jordan Love of it. So I'm not anti signing a Darnold or signing a Cousins and then trading up to take a quarterback. I just... Darnold, if you're taking Darnold, Let's give that guy a chance. If you're taking Darnold, trade out of six, you can't treat the same way
as Cousins, in my opinion, though.
I don't think
you treat him the same way as you even if like Russell Wilson in the same respect too. I think if you take someone like Darnold, that's your quarterback in many ways. You might take a quarterback in the third or fourth round, so to have a cheap backup option that maybe you can just kind of see what happens. But if you take Darnold, that's supposed to be your guy for 3, 4, 5 years.
Well, and easily. Again, I like the idea of protecting yourself though on the downside of Darnold, which you have to just understand. There is a downside. There's a chance he's peaked. There's a chance that maybe this year is the anomaly of everything that he's done. But if you take him, then I think you really have to trade down, get 6 and 7, either bulk up that defense even more. If you love a left tackle, take a left tackle. If you love the McMillan kid from Arizona, that's where all of a sudden, if you take Darnold in free agency and then you trade down, all of a sudden, I think the pick becomes, how can we either make Darnold better or how can we make the defense better so Darnold still doesn't have to be the Darnold he was in Minnesota?
It's interesting. And to go back to the original conversation is like, will we know on draft night? Will we already know what's set forth? And I mean, it's impossible to guess right now, but it's I like what you said, where it's like we could April 7th, we could have everything situated and figured out, and we're just counting down the days. We could also have it on the night of.
Well, and I really think your best chance to get the maximum haul, I really think might be March or early April. And I, by the way, I'd prefer that.
Do you want it out of the way, or do you want the draft day drama?
Well, listen, for ratings, it's probably better if they have the number 2 pick all the way to the NFL draft.
Let's root for that, guys.
But yeah. I think from my own estimation of, all right, I want to see where your offense – like the second you sign Sam Darnold, I'm comfortable with you pulling the trigger on the number 2 pick.
Yeah.
Like the second you even sign Kirk Cousins, and
see,
again,
that's another part of that, though, too. If you sign Darnold, you are telling everyone, not only are we for sale, but we're for sale at a cheaper price. Because right now, the price is pretty high.
I don't think it's going to attach anything to the price. Because actually, what it does is it takes another quarterback off the board they can sign. I think taking Darnold off the board, because what you can't, it's plausible that you can say, yeah, I think we're going to take a quarterback at 2.
Like, and that's right, what I would do in the next month. I'd be telling teams, we love Shedeur Sanders. We're ready to take him. Give me a Godfather offer and let's see what we can do. But, while having a completely different understanding of what you plan to do in free agency.
And not just that, like a team like the Raiders, I know Brady's in charge, so he's supposed to be smarter than this. No. Tom Brady's in charge, and Tom Brady wants to win.
He's very green to all this. And he just hired
a college teammate to be his GM.
Yeah.
John Spytek's a good football guy from anything anybody's ever said. There was one job he was truly linked to in the last 5 years, and it's been this job.
Yeah.
Who happens to have his best buddy as the part owner in total power. Like, the Raiders really seem ripe to be ripped off because Mark Davis is a dodo. Tom Brady doesn't know what he's doing. And they desperately need a quarterback. And Shedeur brings relevance. That's a team that'll make a relevance play and overspend out of relevance.
Well, and it's Las Vegas.
Yeah. Well, Shedeur in Vegas is
Shedeur
box office.
Shedeur in Vegas is box office. That's a city of box office.
Yeah, until it isn't, quite fairly.
Well, that's how everything is.
It's the Manziel effect. I'm not saying he's Manziel, but I'm saying, like, and when you start thinking of, we need box office in a box office town, you're starting to think about marketing more than you are taking a quarterback, and that's when you start to do excessively
Tom
dumb
Brady,
things.
The difference here, though, is Tom Brady's got a very close connection with Shedeur Sanders. He has trained Shedeur Sanders in the past. He has spoken in the previous 48 hours, Nick, about how great he thinks Shedeur Sanders
that's
is.
That's awesome.
Like he, but he
that's
knows
awesome,
him. Nobody
he's
knows
got
him.
A blind spot.
Well, but he knows him firsthand. He knows him personally, and yep. He's trained him.
Yep, and he might have a blind spot.
Like, if anything, Tom Brady speaking so emphatically about how great he thinks Shedeur is, who's seen him firsthand up close.
I'll tell you, you want to talk about eroticism. If you rip off Tom Brady for Shedeur Sanders, and you get like 2 extra first rounders, maybe get Aiden O'Connell. Let's just get real crazy. Maybe get a couple, maybe an extra second, an extra third. You get like a Deshaun Watson level package from Tom Brady.
Maybe Tom's just a bad evaluator of quarterbacks. I don't know.
You are going to want to check out my OnlyFans. You will, because it will be an experience du jour. Mac, don't make that face. Come on. Brian Baldinger walks us through his thoughts on the quarterback class, his thoughts on the NFL playoffs, who will be left standing at 422 on 92.3 The Fan.
Experience du jour for Shedeur.
I think the two most interesting legacy things out of this, we already talked about the Ryan Day stuff. The Will Howard stuff is really fascinating, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he went from being a nothing burger of a quarterback after the Michigan game, and then if you just kind of just had the season end and where it was supposed to go, to now he's a legend. He's a legitimate Buckeye legend, which is crazy.
Well, and what's crazy is if you look year over year, Kyle McCord and Will Howard had damn near the same performance in Michigan losses with two big interceptions that were huge reasons why you lost the damn game.
Yeah.
And Kyle McCord never had a chance, never had the playoffs, because it was only a 4-team playoff to kind of avenge himself, as it were, whereas Will Howard did, and he didn't, because here's the thing, it's not just winning the national championship. He was a completely different quarterback. Like, his performances were on different levels. And whether that's how he was used, which I believe might have been more the case, like, they really didn't deploy him. They didn't allow him to take the risks and make the big plays. They put it all on Jeremiah Smith and Abuka and the Henderson and Judkins in the regular season. And then they kind of let him just kind of go a little bit in the playoffs. And I do think that's going to go a long way to how people think about Will Howard, not just in college, but in the NFL as well.
Yeah, I mean, but even in the playoffs in particular, I mean, we kind of erased the idea that Will Howard had so many interceptions, with double-digit interceptions, first time a Buckeyes quarterback had that in so long, because he was accurate. But then when he went for the big play, sometimes he just... You reminded me of a couple different quarterbacks in the NFL that way, where it was almost Flacco-esque in many regards. When he went for the big play, sometimes it was like, where the hell were you throwing that?
I kind of like the Flacco comparison, because if you just look at like the measurables with him, he's 6'5", he's 240 pounds, he's incredibly mobile, he's a good runner, not a great runner, but a good runner. So he can make plays in a lot of ways, does have a strong arm. I mean, The ball that clinched the game to Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Jeremiah was wide open.
Mm-hmm.
That was a perfect throw. Even the kind of go ball to, Travion that was almost intercepted. It's perfectly thrown. It just, the defender actually turned around and made a good play on the ball. It was a perfect between the receiver and the defensive back. It was a perfect throw. And then he like misses a guy in the flat. What was the 3rd and 3? Late in the game, was it G. Scott? Where G. Scott was wide open, he had the angle, and he just couldn't get the ball around. And just
wasn't that the one to Tate?
He missed
Tate on one of those big plays too.
But it was late in the game. Now I can't remember. For some reason, I'm thinking it's G. Scott. But it was the most give me all gimme throws, and the game would have been pretty much put to bed there, because Notre Dame would have to start using their timeouts, and he just missed it. And I was like, wait. How do you have a 40-yard dime that is just beautiful? And, I mean, it's like the perfect pass in the breadbasket for a first down to clinch the game. And, like, 2 minutes of clock time earlier, you missed the most layup of layup throws that you can possibly have as a quarterback.
Yeah, it was a lot that was interesting about the approach. Like, he was 12 for his first 12, and it didn't seem like they really stressed him to do anything. Like, the best throw he had in the first 12 out of 12 that he had was the probably the comebacker to Jeremiah Smith. They didn't ask him to do too much. But again, he didn't make many mistakes.
Now, it's wild that, because I think you start to look at it, he was only here 1 year. There was the Michigan loss.
Yeah.
And then he wins the national title. Like, if you try and today, I don't think it's possible to quantify what his legacy is at Ohio State.
Yeah, it's
because
odd.
So much of it's pushing back on what historically we valued of a guy. Like, Jack Kaiser spoke after in the Notre Dame loss. He had been there for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's got 6 years of a legacy across two coaches. And Riley Leonard was there for 1 year, and Riley Leonard's going to be remembered more than Jack Kaiser. Like, put that to Ohio State. Will Howard as the, okay, we needed you because our quarterback left and we didn't have the heir apparent ready. We needed you, but you're a one-year guy. You're a bit of a hired hand versus like a Jack Sawyer.
Well, and when they got him too, it wasn't like, oh, great, we got Will Howard.
Yep.
It was like, oh, sweet, we got the 8th best quarterback transfer.
Yeah. I mean, it was initially the names we're talking about were Cam Ward. It was Dante Moore, who ended up at Oregon as the backup. I think some people even wanted Dylan Gabriel. We talked Riley Leonard on the Sons of the Shoe podcast.
For sure.
I think, and then when they got Will, I was, oh, okay, yeah, that's good.
A lot of people thought he was just another Kyle McCord.
Yeah, well, and it's funny. I think until the playoffs, that's what he was,
and he just took it into overdrive. There were so many games, I'd be like, all right, he's just not very good. But in the playoffs, I mean, the game against Oregon, that's his Mona Lisa. That's as good as he's ever going to get. And even last night, when he had 4 incompletions the entire game.
I'm so glad you brought up the Oregon thing, because even within Oregon matchups, there's the duality of didn't slide enough time. Versus
cost you the game in the
versus
first one.
Up until last
ways.
Night,
even though that was the best game he had in the regular season.
So I think last night was his highest rating, passer rating ever. But like Oregon was just shy of that. So it's wild to look at. And what was really interesting last night against Oregon, I didn't hear this. Against the initial Oregon game, where he played really, really well, by the way. I didn't hear this. And even against Texas, I didn't hear this. Last night, there was kind of that start of that pounding of the drum of one from the broadcast saying, he's going to go higher than you think. And I saw Draft Knicks kind of tweeting that out as well. Like, if you think he's going to be like a 7th rounder, you're wrong. People pointing him maybe to the top 64. And then even Browns fans saying, let's go ahead and get this guy.
Well, I thought it was funny. Jeremiah Smith, after the game, was talking. He's like, that's a first-round quarterback. He didn't say top 2 quarterback, though. Like, even his own guy. Like, he was trying to pump him up. But even he's like, well, we can't get crazy with the projections on him. But he's like, he's a first-round quarterback. Of course he's a first-round quarterback. Okay.
If you ask me right now, where does he go? I don't know.
Third, fourth round?
Well, okay. Does that put him in the thing for the Browns, or does it take him out of it?
You know where I stand on this. That's out for me, because I don't want a third or fourth round quarterback. And even if it's like a...
What if he fits everything, Ryan Day?
He doesn't.
What if he fits everything Kevin Stefanski's ever wanted?
You know he doesn't.
Well, he doesn't, from the number one thing is you don't know if he makes good decisions all the time. But like when you talk about the physical projections, which sometimes I don't think we give enough credit to, 6'5". 245 pounds. I've added 5
that's
pounds
like
now.
Big Ben is legit 6'5", 240. Yeah. Josh Allen is 6'5", 240.
And he does have a pretty strong arm. Like it would not surprise me if he ended up being a second-round pick. I don't know that he should be, by the way. This is not an endorsement. I just, because I've watched him, and I still don't know how good he is.
I'm here for the idea that people can get better, and they can get much better in 1 year. I'm totally here for that idea. He was benched at Kansas State, though, and then he comes here in an offense that I think Chip Kelly just did a lot, and I think they have so many players.
He was never officially benched, by the way. They just said, you're not going to start next year.
That's them benching him. Yeah, he was essentially benched. He was phased out at Kansas State.
And then he got a better job.
Yeah, like, but that's because Kansas State said you're not starting here next year.
Well, okay, but then he got whether it was out of desperation or not, like Ohio State wasn't the only major program offering him Boku dollars to come.
No, and he got much better. I'm not trying to dismiss what he just did. It was incredible what he just did. But I do feel like it's kind of like when you watch the NCAA tournament and you see a guy go on an absolute heater and a run, and you're like, well, I need him on my team. NBA GMs and NBA owners do this all the time, because NBA owners watch these guys. And then all of a sudden, you'll have somebody just get taken that did not belong to be taken there. If you take Will Howard... he's a third, fourth round pick in my mind right now. If you take him in the second, I won't cry about it. But I don't want the Browns to do it.
So I've been toying with this idea. Last week I pitched you my trade down, get Mason Graham somewhere in the 6 to 10 range, because that's a guy I would want to trade down.
And then you want a Jalen Milroe,
and
right?
Then trade up from 33 to get Jalen Milroe.
Yeah,
it would not bug me, depending on what it took to trade down and trade back up and all that kind of stuff. If Will Howard was there in the fourth round, if you took him as a second quarterback, it wouldn't bug me at all. I do think there's no way I would draft him in a top 64 pick. I think you're either falling in love with the projectables, or you're falling in love with the success he had with an incredible amount of weapons. It's too big of a risk for me as a top 64 pick.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's too big of a risk for me as the number one quarterback you take in a class. But if you took two quarterbacks, I'd rather him is in the fourth or fifth round than... I'm not going to weigh in on Jackson Dart, because I just haven't seen enough of Jackson. I'm trying to think of another quarter. Curtis Rourke, or I'm trying to think of the other guys in that realm. Dylan Gabriel. Like, I can at least see the projectables as something of you just draft and stash, and if it becomes a backup, it's still a success.
Yeah, I'm not interested. But I do like the conversation. I'm always about quarterback conversation.
Are you anti two quarterbacks this year?
if you want to, if you want to draft, if you want to take Shador at number two, and then you want to take Will Howard in the third or fourth round, I'm not against that.
What about my Jalen Milroe in with like the 28th pick, and then the, you know, the fourth round pick is Will Howard?
Yeah, I don't love that idea.
Why?
No, that just that doesn't scream right. That feels to me like that would be more of a competition between the two. And that seems like you're waiting for then Will Howard to almost beat out Jalen Milroe. I don't know if I love that. Not when you have the number two pick sitting right there. Like if you had the 16th pick, so and then all of a sudden you decided to do something like that, that's a different story.
I've realized if I just start any draft scenario with, so you take Shador at two,
then I'm happy.
I can get then away
yeah, you,
with
you can
anything
do whatever,
else.
You can
I could take a whole punter team at 33. And JP's going to be like, I think you nailed the draft.
Every pick can be an Ohio State player after you take Shador Sanders. I'm going to be like, you did it. Congratulations, Browns. You did it.
We're going to take the social media influencer, Caden Davis,
you
who just got kicked
Judkins?
Off the team.
You want to take Henderson? You
at 33. But if you took Shador at
you
two,
take, you want to take the water
it's
boy
a
at 33?
Good draft.
Take,
yeah.
Take the water boy
you
at 33.
You need to be hydrated in the NFL. You the know, you can never be too hydrated.
The moment you take Shador at number two overall is the moment you won the draft.
I know that you were playing.
It's not hard.
You are playing with fire. You've already way
this
too quickly.
Hard.
You've way too quickly zoned in on it's Shador at two. Be pure for Shador.
Shador's the cure. Shador's the cure.
I had a bunch that I thought of over the weekend, and I can't recall
you
any of them now.
You added to them? Oh, I love
I
that.
I did.
I love that. Like you on the weekend, three-day weekend, you're just sitting back, and you're like, oh, let me get some more Shador.
I was just rhyming things with Shador, and I was like,
there's so many.
This one would upset JP. This one would make him laugh. This one he might like. And I really love the idea that you're so locked in on Shador. It's not just that. But that literally you can't ruin the draft anywhere else.
I mean, really, it's an A-plus draft if you take Shador Sanders.
That is so wild.
A-plus. Everything
direction.
Else you do is in the bonus. We're in the bonus. With our 11 picks that we have, you're in the bonus.
I'm almost impressed. No. I'm removing the qualifier. I'm impressed that you are so one-sided of just, it is January 21st, and Shador is the answer, and there's no, I'm no coming off this. That everything else, there's like, that's just a flat appraisal. That I'm actually wowed by it. I'm judging.
I'm glad I could wow you.
I mean in a good way. It sounds condescending because everything I say sounds
when
condescending.
When you start to be nice, it just comes out so condescending.
Like, this is why I'm never nice, yeah. All right? He sounds the most right when he's mean. But no, I'm proud of how one-sided your thinking, how siloed your thinking has
hey,
already
if
become.
If you're proud now, wait until you see me do this for the next 3.5 months. You'll be really impressed. You'll be really proud.
I can't wait for the day that Dion says, I will not let my kid go to Cleveland. And I'm expecting some sort of heel turn there on Shador, and I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it.
I won't take that out on Shador. That's another overbearing parent decision. He'll just go in the LeVar Ball category for me, and that'll be that. I'll curse Dion up and down, but I'm not going after Shador.
216-474-0092. Is Will Howard an option for the Browns? I think it's a conditional yes. I think it depends on obviously what you do at two, but where's it? If he was the first quarterback for you, I'd be really uncomfortable with him, especially because I think there's a good chance he gets overdrafted. And that's the beauty of nailing Kirk Cousins with a fourth round pick is you already had RG3, so there were no expectations for Kirk, and it's a fourth round pick quarterback. Like, those are not supposed to succeed. So the worst case scenario is he doesn't work out, and you go, as a fourth round, you took on a quarterback, and you go through the projectables. Not the same thing as if you take him with like an early third round pick.
Yeah, not the same.
216-474-0092. Is Will Howard an option for the Buckeyes? And blaming the refs is just another way of doing this. I'll tell you what this is at 3:43 on 92.3 The Fan.